I'm Cheryl Waters. I'm here in the KEXP gathering space, beyond delighted to be welcoming live music back in our building after what seems like an eternity. And I have been looking so forward to inviting this artist to perform here at KEXP. Listeners, so excited about the new album, Vulture Prince. And here is Aruj Aftab live on KEXP.
Thank you. you very much. For those of you who are listening, I just wanted to also say that I have with me today Maeve Gilchrist and Gian Reilly, and so you're listening to them as well.
Thank you.
You're listening to Arush Aftab live on KEXP.
Thank you.
That is Arooj Aftab live on KEXP. I think that has literally taken my breath away. Absolutely gorgeous. And I'm going to speak with Arooj. I want to thank her and her wonderful band for that incredible performance. And they are going to be playing at Holocene in Portland on Sunday and at the Lodge Room in Highland Park, California on Monday. Arooj, wow. Absolutely incredible. Thank you so much.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Your gorgeous new album, Vulture Prince, is really resonating with our listeners. Every time I play a song, the email and the text light up. So many people get in touch, and I'm always excited that a bunch of them are new to your music. And there's just definitely something there that connects with the listener, and it's clear how much care you pour into your work. It's very complex. It's very subtle, very meditative, peaceful, and calming. And I just feel like it's what we all need right now. Mm-hmm. Was that your intention for this record? It seems like you had a pretty big scope when you approached Vulture Prince.
I'm glad that it feels like it's a music for the need right now. I feel like that's really great. I don't know if that was how I intended for it to be received, but I'm just happy that it is being received in a space that is like kind of more broad than you know, like yoga or meditation. It's more like a healing, and also like some people are finding it fun. I don't know. You know, it's doing a lot of things for a lot of people, which is kind of a good. That's the idea, right?
It is, and it is just so what we need right now. You've said that Vulture Prince is about visiting places that you call yours and places that don't necessarily exist anymore. And you have roots in so many places, Pakistan, Boston, where you went to college, and you live in New York now. And I believe you also lived in Saudi Arabia when you were young. And so you absolutely have a connection to a lot of places, perhaps even more than I know from reading and the interviews with you. But you seem to take a little piece of those wherever you go, and it doesn't necessarily seem connected to a place the way we think of place in your songs. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I think that what's happening now is like me kind of understanding or just like acknowledging more that like the music, the art that I'm making, or art in general, doesn't really have to belong to like where you were born or like where you spent a lot of time. Like it can really transcend sort of like geographical location, and really is about all the heritages that you inherited as you are just living your life, you know. And as someone who did sort of live in a lot of different places and also just like experience music in so many different ways with so many different people, I think that it's kind of all coming together like that right now. And it has its own personality that is kind of like not really attached to any actual place. I think that that is kind of the beauty of where it's, how it, the space that it's occupying now.
You've been in New York for a while. Is that a place that you love living, that you can see yourself being in at least for a while?
I think so. I mean, I've been in New York for almost, I want to say 15 years. Maybe that's too many. But it's beautiful. You know, New York has always been this like melting pot of all cultures and all sorts, like every possible like musical hero that you can think of who's alive, like comes through New York at some point and does a performance. And so you have access to see that or to be around like incredible musicians like Gyan Riley, like Maeve Gilchrist. Like, you know, I've met these people here and have had the privilege to cultivate a relationship with them musically. And that is something that I do contribute to being based in New York.
Talk a little bit about your relationship with music as a child, because you've described your childhood as being surrounded by music lovers and people who celebrated music and were interested in a lot of the intricacies of music. Can you describe some of your memories of childhood and music?
I think that my family was, well, my parents were just really like very enthusiastic about music, and so were their close friends. So their circle of friends, they were all just like extreme like music enthusiasts and listeners and collectors of music, and sort of like, you know, sort of people who don't just listen to it are also like, you know, kind of engaging in discourse and critique and like sort of deconstruction of it. And so that kind of just being around that was what I was around. And then Lahore, I think, is also just such a, it's a city that is so known for its like poetry and romance and Urdu literature and dance. And like, it's just like the culture itself is extremely steeped in like this vibe of like appreciation for music and art. So that's, that also, I think, is just like kind of why they were like that in the first place, you know?
You said that everyone in your family sings really well, actually. So were they sort of surprised when you wanted to take it, you know, to another level, do it professionally?
I don't remember any, like, extreme reaction from them. So they were probably just like, well, I guess one of us was going to do this. So I don't think they were very surprised by it.
I love that. Your latest record, Vulture Prince, acts as a second chapter to your 2015 debut, Bird Underwater, and you open Vulture Prince with a new composition of a song that you ended your first record with. And I'm wondering how you started working on Vulture Prince, and you, I think, thought that this was going to be a follow-up that mm-hmm. would come after, yet you surprised us with a sort of ambient album in mm-hmm. between to keep us company while you were working hard on this. But mm-hmm. tell me about the creation of this record and what it meant to you.
I think that this record had some songs. I feel like it's common. I'm not sure with artists and how people write, but I would imagine that it's common that you have some songs that you are thinking about a lot and you're kind of absorbing either like the research part of it or the music part of it hasn't really clicked yet. And so you're just, some songs can just like be in a work in progress mode for like years, you know, and you keep like saying, it's just not there yet. It's just not there yet. And you keep leaving it on the shelf. And there's kind of like in my repertoire, there's songs like that that I bounce around for many years and like play them live and play them with different ensembles and like just play with the song itself until it feels good to me. And so a couple of those are on Vulture Prince, like Last Night and Barome. I loved Barome the way it was on Bird Underwater, but I also loved this other version that I had kind of just was like strumming on the guitar one time by myself, and kind of it's like a happier version, I guess. And like I wanted to bring it back, you know. So there's some like that have just kind of been knocking around. And then I guess the other ones are sort of a little more intentional and like written for the theme of Vulture Prince. So it's just kind of a mixture of a bunch of things, you know, like whatever makes sense at the time when it's ready.
What does Vulture Prince mean to you? You kind of have an avian theme to both mm-hmm. your first record and this one. And, you know, the vulture is such a mythological and feels like a very old character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vulture Prince, I liked the two words started just like sitting together in my mind and like sounding really nice to me long before I knew even like what they were supposed to do. And then more and more so as I was thinking about the record and like thinking of a follow-up to Bird Underwater, it started to make more sense to me, and this Vulture Prince concept started to become like this being or this entity started to like become clearer to me. Like you said, vultures, you know, it's like this massive bird and it is like super ancient. And, you know, when it's like when vultures are mentioned, I mean, also they're mentioned so much all over the world in mythology and, you know, and just so exalted, kind of, you know. So I was kind of thinking of a vulture who is like, and they're also extremely misunderstood, right? They're like kind of sometimes considered like evil or just like scary because, I don't know, they eat like flesh, whatever, you know. It's like carrion birds, that's what they do. But I mean, I always thought that it was a very cool imagery. And then to imagine like this type of ancient royalty, you know, so like, but at the same time, like with less responsibility, kind of more of a fuck up sort of person, you know, like, so like not really like with the idea of having leadership, but also just not really having to have immediate leadership. So like a prince made sense there. So then it just kind of like, I just kept playing around with that stuff in my head and it's just started feeling like really kind of like deep, but also a little comedic, you know, a little bit like fun. This character, and so that's kind of sad and dark too, you know, so just like a blend of complex, just like we all are, you know, like, so that Vulture Prince started to make itself apparent.
I love that. I love the lightheartedness to it. I'm also blown away by the use of harp throughout Vulture Prince. Mm-hmm. You were very intentional about writing darker melodies, which is not sort of an adjective you would ascribe to the harp. Mm-hmm. And it is just so gorgeous on this record. And you've really intentionally looked for a certain sound there. And Maeve just does an incredible job. Again, kudos to those musicians. That was an incredible performance.
They're masters
of their craft.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Maeve is a very special harp player and has like brings like a huge amount of personality and experience to the instrument and kind of actually transcends the instrument itself with the way that she plays. And I think that when we play together, it's kind of great because I tend to go like really dark and she can be like really bright. And so when we meet in the middle, we find that sweet spot that I am sonically looking for.
Well, it is impossible to talk about this gorgeous record without talking about the incredible musicians that you work with. Mm-hmm. And you have a minimal sound on this record, and you're representing these songs with three of you on stage now, but quite a few people worked with you on this. How does that look when you're working on songs together? I imagine you bring the bulk of the ideas, but when you work with such talented people, mm-hmm. I don't imagine you write it out. On paper and say, do this.
No, I never do that. There's no way that is the way that it works. There's obviously, like, you know, there's the music, and then there's like a workshopping time. And then, of course, there is like my overall vision of what it should sound like. And then everybody kind of getting to know each other too musically, and seeing how everybody fits together in the moving parts, because it's like lots of layers of stuff, but also meant to sound like nothing's really happening. But then the full, like, there's a lot of subtle decisions that are happening in the music and in the sound quality that are bringing out this like final effect. I mean, we could talk about it at length because it is super deep and complicated, but I don't know if we have time for that.
Maybe we'll do a podcast on another time.
Podcast on how Vulture Prince was written, the whole breakdown, coming soon.
Well, you studied music production and engineering mm-hmm. and theory at Berklee College of Music in Boston, and listening to the complexity and the subtlety of this record, you are certainly putting a lot of craft into your songs. There's so much care in there. It's probably fair to say that you approach it from a producer's mindset. And I just kept thinking, when I listen to your music and know that you grew up in a musical family, how different it might be if you didn't have that background, that education, and that training. I mean, that must bring so much to your process. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you ever think about how you might be creating music and recording music if you maybe just were like a self-taught musician?
I mean, I think that I had that thought when I decided that I would like to study and pursue music in the way that I did, right? It's like, oh, I think I see what's going to happen here if I don't make the choices that I'm making right now. Like 20 years ago, I didn't want to be sort of just like an insular. I wanted to see more. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to like really expand my mind musically and like try to absorb more, because I just knew that there's more out there than like what I was just having access to and what I was listening to, and whatever musically was coming to my head, I was challenging it even at the time. And I think that that's true of like people who write music. They're constantly searching for this very same expansion. So I think, of course, maybe like if I hadn't had the journey that I've had, it would have been a totally different type of music. But I'm happy that I did make the choices that I did.
I'm happy you did too.
Thank you.
Well, you worked with a perfumer to mm-hmm. craft a scent that went along with Vulture Prince. And I feel like a scent is something we so rarely associate with music. What was that process like? That must have been really heady.
I actually should have brought you some. My bad. You know the perfumer? She's like this Egyptian woman who studied perfumery in France and also but lives in Canada. And like, she's amazing. Her name is Dana Al-Masri. And she, you know, kind of, I was watching, like in the pandemic, I was kind of like following her on social media and just like seeing the sort of stuff that she was posting about, which is kind of like, you know, there's like, you know, the perfume world is so kind of dominated by France and Europe, and like, you know, they kind of say define what luxury scent is. And like, she was kind of talking about that, like perfume with sort of like a political angle to it, and just like all these other beautiful scents like jasmine or oud, like, and how they're just like not really used the right way in perfume, because it's just like the leaders of the perfume industry are European mostly. And so I was really enjoying her discourse. And then she also started writing about her own brand, which like she makes perfumes based on like a Led Zeppelin concert that she went to, you know, or like some woman that she saw in Cairo in the 70s smoking a cigarette at a disco. And she has like these specific perfumes that are based on these like moments in time for her. And that really blew me away and started making me think that I would like a merch item that isn't like a t-shirt, or something very like intentional and like is kind of like another sensory experience. And it was a lot. I mean, it's like really ridiculous to make a perfume, you know, like, who am I, Rihanna? Like, it's extremely expensive to even like make a drop of it, and then let alone like sell it, and then also get like, imagine that people will want to buy something they've never smelled before and has just to do with an album that they might like. But it smells amazing, which is really, I don't know how that happened. But I mean, I guess she's a great perfumer. So, you know, she totally understood the brief. And people are buying it, and everybody loves it. And it also smells like the album I've heard. So I guess we somehow managed to pull that whole thing off, which at some point sounded just like, this is crazy. Why are we doing this?
Well, we know what the album sounds like, and we know we love it. So yeah. If it smells like the album, it must be fantastic. Arush, thank you so much for playing for us today. That was absolutely gorgeous, bringing those amazing musicians with you. And I look forward to what's next with
you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're listening to KEXP, where the music matters.